Today we begin this Megidalid, Lamatzech, Lidavid, Omar, and Double Beliboy. Okay, so we're up to Mizmor Yudalid. Mizmor Yudalid, Lamatzech, Lidavid, Omar, and Double Beliboy. The novel says in his heart, Ein, there is no Elohim, Hishchisu, Hisivu, Alilo, Ein, Oisei. They have, the wicked have Hishchisu, they have done, they have destroyed Hisivu. Hisivu comes from the word ta'ava. We'll see in a few moments. They have followed their base desires. Alila means they have committed abominations. Ein oisei tov, they do no good. So many different words to describe. There's so many different words to describe wickedness. It's incredible. You learn good vocabulary. You learn Tehillim. You learn the vocabulary. You have whatever hishchisu. That's number one. Hisivu. They follow their yetzahara. Alila, it's Ivu Alila, goes together. Alila is an abomination that comes through the following of the Yetzer Hara. Ein Oisei Toiv, and then we say that, like you say, Loi Toiv Heyois Adam Levadoi. It doesn't say in the Torah that it's good to get married, all it says that it's not good to be alone. Isn't that interesting? And then it says here also, Ein Oisei Toiv. They do not do good. They don't get married. It's not what it says, Ein Oisei Tov. They don't do Oisei. Well, not really. Okay, whatever, we'll see. That's a little bit going a little too far here. Let's take a look at what's going on in this mizmor. First of all, this mizmor, who wrote this mizmor? What's the purpose of this mizmor? Well, obviously it says Lamatzech LeDavid. Obviously David over here is taking credit. David over here is taking credit for this composition. David over here talks about the Novol. Who is the Novol? So, before we even begin to discuss this mizmor, there's a very important principle about this mizmor. This mizmor is almost repeated word for word in mizmor Nun Gimel. Okay, a little secret. You learn Sefer Tehillim, everything is exactly the same? No, there's repetition. Mizmor Yudalit and mizmor Nun Gimel are nearly identical. How did that happen? A printer's error. How did that happen? Let's look at there. Now, it's not exactly the same, obviously. There are slight nuances that separate the two, which maybe makes it even all that much more harder to really understand what is the purpose of this mizmor. But if you jump ahead to mizmor Nun Gimel, and just give a quick look at mizmor Nun Gimel, it's really amazing to see that they're almost word for word the same. Okay, the difference is, okay, Lamatzech al Mochalas Maskil Lidavid. That's obviously a difference, okay? The opening passage is different. But then it's Omar Nova Beliba in Elohim. Yeshchisu Vihisivu. Okay, here there's a Vav. Here, Mizmor Megimel, it says Vihisivu. And then it says, Vihisivu Ovel. It says instead of the word Alila, it says the word Avel, Ein Oisetoiv. Okay, then instead of it saying Yudke Vavke, it says Elokim. Elokim, Yishmaim Hishkif, Al Bnei Adam, Lirois Hayesh Maskil. Okay, that's exactly the same. Dorish as Elokim. Kuloi, here's another difference. Hakol Sor. Here, instead of it saying Hakol, here it says Hakol Sor. And there it says kuloi sog yachdav. Okay, ne'alochu enoy seitoiv. Okay, obviously gam ein echod. Okay, here it says gam. So it's not exactly the same. I should be more careful in how I say. But there are, I mean, the similarities. It's patterned. The pattern is exactly the same. And obviously the differences are in the nuances. So why is there repetition? What's the purpose? So there are many interpretations. So first, the most basic, we'll see over here, I don't remember, I actually put on the notes, but the basic idea is that one, according to one approach, we'll see in a moment, was said about Nebuchadnezzar, and the other was said about Titus. We're describing over here the Rishon who are going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And one Mizmor David is saying prophecy about the Churban Bayis Rishon, Al-Yirin Nebuchadnezzar. And the second is, Mr. Cohen, can you just close the door?
Yeah, I was saying if it's going to be there for a while, I suppose.
And the second is is a reference to Ruach HaKodesh, referring to the Churban Bayis Sheni that was done al yidei Titus. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation is, I think we'll see maybe in the Sudos, is that there was a personal event that David experienced, and then there was reference to he wasn't alive then. Sancheiriv Chizkiyahu. All right, we'll see them looking for us in a few moments to see the exact details. But basically, there were two different episodes, either in the life of David himself, or it was a prophecy regarding two episodes in Jewish history that are very, very similar. And the pattern repeated itself, but nothing is exactly the same. Obviously, we study history in order to learn from history repeats itself. So if you learn about evil, and you learn about cause and effect, and the condition, the human condition, obviously you have the ability to learn and to prepare and not repeat the same mistakes. Everyone makes a mistake in life. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yastav lo yechad. So what is the difference between a fool and a smart man? A smart man does not repeat his mistakes. So you can learn that one mizmar was building upon the other mizmar. David, he's teaching us history. He's teaching us that there was an event in Jewish history in his life where there was a tzara, and we were able to overcome the tzara. And we didn't just overcome the tzara, we learned from the mistakes. We learned about the human condition. And therefore, in the second mizmar, in Nun Gimel, it's a more advanced, a more sophisticated approach to deal with what would appear to be the exact same situation. And I think that's the classic, every history course. Every time you take a course in history, I'm sure you've all heard this a million times when you've taken a course in elementary school, in high school, in college, is history repeats itself. And therefore, it is critical to study history, to learn from to learn cycles, to learn patterns, to learn about human nature and how to prepare oneself that things should not repeat itself. So this is something that's always good. This is a very big topic. This is a very nice thing, like a whole series of shiurim just on this alone, is to compare Mizmar Yudalid to Mizmar Nun Gimel. Okay, we said Mizmar Yud Gimel and Nundal, Mizmar that we're learning now, Yudalit, and Mizmar Nun Gimel are very, very similar. The terminology is strikingly similar, pasuk by pasuk.
The biggest glaring to me difference is all the Yud K Vav K's.
Right. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see over here, I mean, in my notes I have over here that exactly is one, I think it's the Chumash Hanach or the Minchas. It's going to discuss exactly that. Exactly that. That is one of the most significant differences between the two. Okay, so let's right away jump into the. Let's go through the entire mizmar with the mitzvah start. It's a short mizmar, and then we're going to rash, and then we're going to select the mafarshim on this mizmar. So let's run through the whole thing. First, I'm going to start again. Pasuk Yedalim, Lamed Aleph, mizmar Yedalim, page 108. Lamed Zech, David Amar, never believe, but the Neville says in his heart, Ein Elokim. Hishchisu, three different terms. Hishchisu, they have destroyed, they have corrupted, they have brought about destruction. Hisivu alila. What? I'm sorry.
There's no judgment.
There's no judgment.
Hishchisu. No. Ein Elohim.
Ein. The novel. We'll read the mitzudos. There are many interpretations of what this means. We'll see in this moment. Ein. The novel says in this heart. What is the novel, by the way? We're going to see in a second. No. Amar novel. Believe by Ein Elohim. The novel. Novel we have by Yisro. Yisro says to Moshe, Novol Tibol, you will wither away. A person who is in the state of withering. There's no such thing as a parva yid. A Jew is either growing or he's falling. There's no such thing as just being in the middle. Every single day, you're either going higher or you're slipping, you're falling, you're going lower. If a person chooses to go backwards, to backslide, then he needs a lot of more siyata shmaya to go forward. Person is, there's no such thing as maintaining your status quo. you're either growing or you are falling. Navol is a term of withering. A person is rapidly declining. A person who is in a state of decline, spiritual decline, declares, Ein Elokim, there is no God. A person who is in a state of growth, of going higher, developing, blossoming, is in a state of recognizing that wherever he turns, he sees the Yad Hashem. When a person is challenged, he feels that he is challenged, and he does not see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life, does not see the Hashkocha Pratis, that is a sign, that is a symptom that he is in a matzav in his life where he's not growing spiritually. His life is stale. He needs to shake himself up and join a shir, or go to a better place to daven, or get involved in things which will allow his neshama to go higher. When a person feels, Ein, every person to a degree in their lifetime feels, where is Hashem? What happened? Ein Elohim, where is Hashem? That means there's a problem in his ruchnius, because he's not seeing the Yad Hashem. His shchisu, what do the wicked do? What does the devil do? His shchisu, they destroy. His evil alila. These two terms go together. Alila is a very powerful word. Yeah. In our collection of there's something called a chait, an avera, and then we have a zodoin. There is keep zodoin. There's a person acts a chait, avoin, pesha. Right? There are three basic words: chotasi, avisi, poshati. A chait is an inadvertent sin. An avoin is I did it. Benazin, but I did not do it with in spite. And poshati pesha is typically translated to mean that I did it out of rebellion. But then there are not more words. There's the word a to'eva. A person commits an abomination. And here, that's already four words. And here we have a fifth word, alila. Alila, I'm not sure exactly on the spectrum of where you're going to put it. Will you put the word alila above a to'eva? Or would you put it below it, between the word Pesha and To'eva? It's not clear, but there are many different terms. Many different terms to describe Chet. And the word here, Alil, is a very important word. Ein Oy Seitov. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavid. Mitzvah Stavid starting on Pasuk on page 108. Page 108, Omar Novel. Who is the novel? So again, as we said, according to the Mitzvah Stavid, there are two Mizmoirim, which are almost identical. One is this Mizmor Yudalid, and the other Mizmor is Mizmor Nun Gimel. And according to some, this refers to Nevuchadnezzar, the Churban Bayis Rishon, and Mizmor Nun Gimel is a Nevuah regarding the Churban Bayis Sheni. So that Mizmor, the novel, is Titois HaRasha. And this is referring to Nevuchadnezzar. Omar Novel, Nevuchadnezzar Hamacher is Beis Hamikdash. Omar Beliba, he says in his heart, Ein Elokim, HaKol Lefi HaMikra, Nevuchadnezzar, the Mitzvah Stavid over here is defining a very powerful, very incredible principle that Nevuchadnezzar was an atheist. Nevuchadnezzar was not a religious person. He did not believe in God. Ein Elokim, HaKol Lefi HaMikra, everything that happens in this world is just a coincidence.
So who is the idol for?
Who is the idol?
For
which? Who, I guess that's the idol is atheism.
The word God in Baal.
Okay, so I don't know. So I guess their religion is this principle of everything is mikra, chance. That's the religion. The religious don't take anything to heart. Everything that happens in this world is just by chance. Okay, I hear you saying you have to analyze all these things to you know, each mefarish needs to be accountable for all of the psukim that don't seem to conform to their theorem. But here he says, he refers to Nebuchadnezzar, that's why he's putting labels, it's Nebuchadnezzar, and the essence of Nebuchadnezzar is, according to the Mitzvah Stavid, obviously not everyone's going to agree with this, he says, Ein Elokim, Amar Beliba, Ein Elokim, HaKol Lefi HaMikra. Okay, next page.
It's a coincidence.
Every right, correct, that's what I'm saying.
Amalek said the same thing. Who said, Mili Bashamayim?
Nebuchadnezzar? I don't remember. Let's go to next mitzvahs. The next page. The next page is on page 111. Page 111. Hishchisut on the bottom. Hishchisut huviyamo. They have corrupted. They have destroyed. Hu Nebuchadnezzar v'yamov v'yamar kol b'loshon avar in the past. Even though David HaMelech over here, this did not yet happen. It's many, many years before this would happen. This is prophecy. David HaMelech is a Navi. Sometimes we forget that. Because since this is Tehillim, and Tehillim is part of the Ksuvim, so we forget to mention that David is also a Navi. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are also Nevi'im. And just because David wrote Sefer Tehillim does not take David out of being a Navi. Now, David is also a Navi, and David here is he's seeing the future, and he's going to see Nebuchadnezzar what he's going to do. Hishchisu they, who is the they? Nebuchadnezzar and his army. And even though it's written of him, Loshon Ovar, that's in the prophecy. Anything that will happen, it's as if it already happened. By Hashem, Hoya, Hoyve, Viyeh, there's no such thing as time. The tenses are all interchanged. So even though it's written B'Loshon Avar, it's the future. You could write B'Loshon Avar, V'Amar Kol B'Loshon Avar, Ki B'Mare, Hanavua Royeh, Kilu Kvar Osuya, as if it already has been done. Hisivu Alila. Now what does that mean? It's a very hard, good word here. Osu Ma'asim Tu'uvim. The word, he's taking the word Ti'ivu, is a to'uvim, which means disgusting. Now,
right.
Disgusting.
Abomination.
The ain bochem mi sheyaseh to'uvim. Look at the mitzvah
right,
siyon.
So
the,
alila, therefore, is a pa'ula.
So look at the mitzvah siyon on the left, right there. Alila, a pa'ula. So the ikar word of abomination is the word his'ivu. To'eva. To'eva, it's spelled with an ayin in the Torah? Is that remember? Yes. Is that how you spell it? With an ayin? Well, to'eva.
Yeah.
Right. So therefore, the Iker word over here, it's a to'eva, alila, so I guess then there is no special, I told you the word alila is another word, another
there are
word.
Other context, there are other definitions of alila.
Right, that's what I was referring to, but the Mitzvah study does not say that. The Mitzvah study over here, the word alila is a powerful word, and we're just over here connecting it to the main word. The main word over here is his'ivu. So we're back to our basic words. Our basic words are chotosi, avisi, pashati, is the word to'eva, and the word alila is nothing
it
significant.
Might not be part of
what?
Because it might not be parva. It might be only used in context. That
with the word his evil.
Such as, alilas dam.
Blood libel.
Blood libel.
Blood libel. So I think that term is following the other commentators over here on the page. We'll see them in a moment. Who do learn the word alila as a standalone word of chet. The Mitzvah Stavid for the moment. We're going to come to, we'll see in a moment the other perushim. But the Mitzvah of the moment over here does not make a big deal about the word alila. He says the Iker primary word of this pasuk is his evil, abomination. And we want to give a little more flavor to the word to'eva, so it says his evil alila. But alila, he does not dwell, at least for the moment, on a very similar understanding as being a negative word. It's not, it's, it means an action.
Also,
you can do good actions, you can do bad actions.
His alail is to mock or
to mock. Okay.
With.
So you see, in that context, it is negative. It is negative. But this context alone, you can't come to the conclusion just from the mitzvah alone, the word alila is a negative word. It means an action. You can do good actions and bad actions, powerful actions.
Right.
The word to'eva is a negative word. There's nothing good to say about the word to'eva. Not that I'm aware of. To'eva is a purely negative word. A chet is a negative word. An avam is a negative word. A pesha is a negative word. There's no redemption for these words. These words are negative words. So now the word alila, is the word alila a negative word? Or alila is just it's a powerful word. And it all depends on how you use it. So here the Mitzvah stuff itself is telling us, at least when I'm reading, that it's not a negative word. The word here, the primary word is hisivu, they commit abominations. In order to give it a little more flavor, we connect to the word alila, hisivu, alila, they do. Alila is they do, they're active in committing acts of abomination. Next.
I think whenever it accompanies another word,
yeah.
Then it's a maaseh.
Okay.
It's ivu alila. It's a maaseh. It's alati b'mitzrayim, there is no... no
alone, stands alone.
It's alati
b'mitzrayim. So when it stands alone, okay, so when you say when it accompanies another word, then it's parv. But when it stands alone, it automatically is negative. Okay, we're going to see different perushim in a moment. Let's just go to the mizmar. Pasuk base. Hashem mishamayim hishkif al bnei lema. Hashem from heaven hishkif. Hashkif, he looks down. Hashkifa mimayin kashcha. Rashi here says every time he says the word hashkifa, it's lira'ah. Lira'ah, it's always evil, except for the pasuk. What?
Hashkafa.
Means
an outlook
on life. It's very interesting because that word is part of our vocabulary, and Chazal say explicitly that it's bad. It's a bad word. So you say, what's this hashkafa? That's not a good thing to say. Because kol hashkafa in Nikra is always lira'ah. Chutz mizu. Except one exception, hashkif, m'mon kachcham neshvam uvarechas amcha es Yisrael. So when a person talks colloquially and he says, what's this boy's hashkafa? What's this girl's hashkafa? That's it. Well, that's the exception. You follow the majority. It would seem that our usage of the word in our common language is not proper, because Chazal explicitly say it's always lira'ah. And here's an example. Here is hishkif al bnei adam. Hashem is not happy. Hashem is observing man misbehaving. Let's see the game.
What other word would you use?
Hashem is mabit.
This person's not Hashem.
Ideology. This person's. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out other words.
After the previous statement was made, you know, by the fool, that there is no God looking in on us, and now Hashem is indeed looking down on
from a different.
The mashkof is the part above.
The lintel, very good. Very good. The mashkof is the part on top of the door that's above. That's very interesting. The mashkof is what is on top of you, looking down upon you. That's very, very interesting, because the Targum, we learned in the afternoon, the Targum, we had that word every so often, he doesn't say that. He always says Mashkof means to beat, to hit. The door bangs on the lintel, that's where it stops. It doesn't even mention the mezuzah. The mezuzah, we have to see how ancient doors were constructed. We in our doors, when the door comes to an end, it's being prevented from going forward because they are mezuzois. And there's the mashkoif, right? Today our doors are, but you get an impression from Chazal that in ancient times doors were different, and the mezuzois did not serve to stop the door from moving. In fact, we know that's not so. We know that they were swinging doors. What stopped the door from continuing to swing? It was only the mashkoif. I don't know if that's true. But the Targum says, what does it mean, Mashko? It means to hit, to bang. That when the door swivels, it then bangs against this post, and it can't go any further. Now, it does not say that principle regarding the posts, the vertical posts. Why not? Our doors today, when a door closes, if it's constructed in a way where you want the door to stop, it bangs against everything. It bangs against the upper post and against the side posts. Only thing that it doesn't bang against is on the bottom. Yet in Chazal, when they talk about a door, there's the mezuzos and there is the mashkoif. And the word mashkoif means to bang. Why don't we have the principle of banging in the word mezuzos, the mezuzah? I don't know. Maybe if we had a videotape of what the average door looked like.
The Gemara talks about the delet, it used to go up, not from side to side.
The delets would go up, the window shutters.
The merchandise.
That was stores, that was chanuyas. But in the bias, was it the same thing? Maybe.
Closed like that.
We need to go have some video, some YouTube videos from those days and see what life was like in ancient times to get a better idea of the mashkoif. So Rebbechol, I'm just pointing out to you, he's saying something very fascinating. He's saying the word mashkoif, you're saying it comes from the word of hashkifa mim'ayin kachshecha. The word mashkoif by definition means that something which is high up and it is looking down upon you. I never thought about it like that. It's fascinating because it's the same word, mashkoif and hashkifa. Yet, interestingly, the Targum, we had this a few times, when he talks about the mashkoif, he consistently says, the first thing we learn in this translation, I can't remember all the details, but we came across a number of times that the mashkoif comes from the word to hit. The translation of the word mashkoif, I forgot all the details, it means to bang. Bang. We have it here also in the Rashi, the knees of Baal Shet Tzar. Da, look at the last line in the Rashi. This is from Daniel. Da le da nok shon. They banged. He was terrified when Modai was about to, they came to destroy his malchus. Noksha means to bang one on the other. The word mashkoif is translated by the Targum with this word noksha. But in this pasuk here, hishkifa, it does not say hishkifa. What does the Targum here say? It's not the same Targum.
Kiss.
Both same thing.
Right.
Yes, same thing.
So over here, pasuk based in Targum, it says over here, oidik. Oidik does not mean to bang. Oidik means Oidik means, I guess, to look down, to inspect. A bedika, to look down. I'm not sure. Okay, let's see. Let's go with one at a time. The Bitzus of Eliyahu says the pasuk says Hashem Mishamayim Hishkif Al Bnei Adam Liros to say Yesh Maskil. Hashem is looking to see, is there a wise man, Doresh, who is seeking Es Elokim. You would ask, why is that called Hashkaf? Why is that evil? Why would you want to use a term that Hashem is looking down with an evil eye upon mankind when Hashem is looking for a good man, looking for some good man to recruit, some good man for Uncle Sam? What's over here? The word, why does it say over here the word hishkif? Let's see the mitzudos. Mitzudos hishkisu hu ve'amid already pasuk beis hishkif lirois to see the maase ha'amahu hayesh maskil limchois v'davar. Now that's a very fascinating thing. Over here, the mitzudos that over here is telling us the essence of a maskil, because there are so many different. There are some different words to describe wise men. All different terms you can use to describe chokhma, and here we're using the word a maskil. And obviously, what maskil became a very bad word in pre-war Europe. The reformers and those that abandoned,
secular.
The secular people who abandoned Yiddishkeit, not only they abandoned, they tried very hard to take other people away. And they call themselves the maskilim. They call themselves maskilim.
Because they considered themselves the intelligentsia.
Right, let me ask you a simple question. Who called them maskilim? Did the traditional Jews give them that label, or they gave themselves that label?
They called themselves that.
Yeah?
It's Nu'at HaSkala.
They called themselves. It wasn't the opposition.
Shamshur Fall Hirsch wrote, he happened to grow up together with Geiger. They were roommates, and they learned together for many years. They were very good friends, and then they split.
So that's an historical fact. So this term, they gave themselves. Because sometimes when you have a big machlokes, you know, like today, who called the Haredim the Haredim? This term, Haredim, is a new term. Only came into our language 30 years, not even. Okay, and it used to be... It used to be Da'atim. And the word it used to be like a racist word. It was like a four-letter word. To call someone a Haredi meant you're a fundamentalist, you're an extremist, you're a Meshuggah.
That's a literal translation.
Still does.
Today, no, not really. Today, it represents what we call in the newspapers an ultra-Orthodox Jew. What is an ultra-Orthodox? If you're Shomer Shabbos, you're called ultra-Orthodox. You're already called by the New York Times. If you're minimally Shomer Shabbos, you're called ultra-Orthodox. Okay.
20 years ago, the president of my shul once said, Rabbi, you're the most ultra-Orthodox guy I ever met. I said, Bernie, you have no clue.
Okay, so this week, but if I'm not mistaken, 30, 40 years ago, the word Haredi meant you're a terrorist. That's what it really meant. What?
Where did the Hasidim get their name?
So that's what I'm asking you. Who made these labels? The people who carry proudly the label, do they label themselves, or is it the opposition?
Let's put it this way:
the media.
If it's a compliment and it's internal, if it's an insult, it's
not necessary. I don't know. Things have a life of its own. So I don't know. I'm thoroughly ignorant. I'm thoroughly ignorant about these things. Who gave them the term the reformers? Who gave the reformers before World War II the term masculine? Who was the one that created that label? Did the opposition, the traditional Jews who opposed what they were their approach, so somehow they labeled them and it spread, it had legs,
well,
it took off.
They held themselves up to be the intelligentsia.
Yeah, but the just a term, whatever it is. It's an interesting study of history of labels. Labels.
Yet we have masculine of it.
Exactly, all over Tanakh you have, right over here, it's usually used in a very, very positive sense. The word maskil in Tanakh is usually used in a beautiful, beautiful...
You could look at it, you know, it's like saying the word, you know, people ask, I say, you know, like the word chocham, wise man, or you could say... Oh,
the chocham from the Manishtana. The chocham from the Manishtana. Okay, I told you in Eloi. I tell you, in America, you say a person is an Eloi, it means he's a genius. So in pre-war Europe, an Eloi meant you're a genius, but it means you're a Meshuggah. It means no one would want to marry you. You can't get a shidduch.
Like that, the real
Ilyusha people, they were crazy. True. They were nuts. They were right. Totally scatterbrained.
It's still true.
It is true, but not to that same degree. If you go, if someone today calls up a Rashiva and you say you want to know information for a boy, a really good girl, I say the boy's an Eloy. Today it's a very big compliment. Today the average person, if you hear that, the boy's an Eloy. Right? Oh, good. That's good. That's so far so good.
No, he's too smart for my daughter.
All right. When you hear that a boy is an Eloy today, in our language, it does not have any connotation that he's a scatterbrain of a shugana. When you say the word Eloy today, just alone, obviously you have to ask all the questions, the boy is an Eloy, so far, that's a very nice thing to hear.
Yeah.
Go back 100 years, if you say a person is an Eloy, it means he's a shugana. Stay far away. He's missing it. Right. He's missing Mars marbles.
I have an old friend who is a genius, and he used to say the borderline between genius and insanity is a thin one.
Yeah, so that's why I told you the story. What was the compliment? A chatzi Eloy. I told you this with my grandfather. My grandfather was a European. He called one of his talmidim. He called him an American boy. He was 12, 16 years old at the time. He told him, You're a chotzi, didn't say chatzi, he said, a chotzi Eloy. And for 50 years, this fellow was walking around. What did my grandfather mean when he called him a chotzi Eloy? He was insulted. He really, what he thought, that you're a shtickle, you're not so smart. You're a little smart. He holds himself to be the girl Hadar, this guy. Well,
so I think the word Eloy means a prodigy.
Yes. So, in our language, you know, the way we speak, it has different connotations.
Right.
And I told you this. He found out very recently. He's reading a biography on Rav Baruch Ber. He told me in a footnote it explained that pre-war Europe, the term Eloy was an insult. And then the guy is a genius, but he's a crazy meshugana. He's not predictable. He's scatterbrained. He's unpredictable. He's not a stable person. And the way you give a compliment to a person in their language, the way they spoke, by saying that the guy is a genius, but he's a mensch. He's a good person. He's a normal, responsible. You would say he's a chatzi Eloy, which means he has the brilliance of these Mishagoyim, but he's normal. He behaves. He's well-mannered. He has a good bedside manner. He's a mensch. He's a responsible person. He's predictable. You would say he's a chatzi Eloy. That was the ultimate compliment. So this fellow, an American boy, 16 years old, didn't know from nothing. My grandfather came from a different world, and he tells him that you're a chatzi Eloy. This guy's walking around his whole life, thinking as tinyness, why my grandfather insulted him. And now 50 years later, he realized that my grandfather gave him the biggest compliment because he accidentally came across this in a footnote on a biography about Rav Baruch Ber. So I told him, I don't know about all your brilliance. All I know is you're a meshugana. So I'll tell you, you're oichid a chotzi iluy, and chose le'itzdarufe.
What?
It's a Gemara term. You have a chatzi here, a chatzi here, a chatzi shir here, a chatzi shir there, and you bring them together. They combine. So now, in my eyes, you're a complete Eloy. You're a Meshugna.
What about the term Tzedukim?
Tzedukim.
Yeah, that's probably...
No, that's a Bikorsa. That's a Bikorsa. That's from the Gemara. The Sadducees. The Sadducees.
That was probably very...
Tzedek.
Like
no, you identify with the group. Tzedek, that was the leader. The leader was Tzedek and Baitos.
But I'm saying that was probably negative.
Of course it's negative. Of course, but they...
But it was probably like Zaginar.
It's like saying that's a Nazi.
No, that's the reason why they're called Tzedekim. No. Everybody. The word tzaddik has nothing to do with the word tzaddik. The name of the leader, the person who went off the derech, his name was tzaddok.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see.
The word tzaddukim does nothing to do with a tzaddik in Russia. The leader of the clan, his name was tzaddik. He had a brother who was Baitos. That was his name. And his followers were called the Baitosim. Like this. Also, what's the difference between the two? You know, there's a fine difference between the two. Like Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, the followers of Beis Shammai, the followers of Beis Hillel. The Briskas, Okay, those that follow the shittas, the unique chidushim of the briska mahalach. The briskas have many unique customs that no one else does. They don't wear tzitzis on Shabbos, talis katan. They don't. They a lot of things that this I remember all of the unique. They study the Rambam. They learn the Rambam very much. All right, let's go further. Let's move ahead. Okay, back to the mitzvah of it. So the mitzvah over here says the word maskil hishkiv libos maskil ha'amachul hayesh maskil. Now this we got sidetracked. This is a very fascinating thing. How Rashi over here, the mitzvah says the word maskil. Is this something you can apply elsewhere? The essence of a maskil in this particular context means someone who makes a protest, who doesn't stand for the garbage. You protest. The wisdom is not just, oh, you're a smart guy. You reject the narrative. You get up and you make a machah that this is wrong. That is how the Mitzudas David understands the word maskil in this context. A person who's breaking out of the mold. There is a rebel. Well, it's more than a rebel. You're making a public statement. To investigate Hashem. If the narrative is there's no God, you live in a world where everyone is in denial that there is a God. Everything that happens,
which means no one is accountable.
No one is accountable. That's true, exactly. Very good. Religion, morality, all comes from religion. That's why a lot of things they say is Milchemes Hashem going on in this world. People,
Mamash,
right. If you want to exactly come to trace a lot of different things that we have going on in this country, throughout the entire world, in all different dimensions, if you really want to go down deep, deep down, you go to global warming. Okay, let's not talk about real controversial things. Let's talk about global warming.
But even more generally,
right.
If you look in the right places, you'll see this.
Exactly. When you look
disgust.
When you look constantly. You look at people that go to the extreme left, that really beyond the pale, extreme left. What's going on here? What's the root? The root in this approach? Is it really because you want fairness? This, what is?
The root is
there's no God.
The state replaces God.
Right. The root is it's apikorsis. It's a melchemes Hashem. Global warming to an extreme. Not talking about, no, you don't want to pollute the environment. Obviously, there are pollutants, there's toxins, there's things like that. When you go to an extreme that's just totally bizarre, why? Why do you really believe in this? This? You don't give any slack to the world that you know. Why? So many. You look at the people that are behind extreme shifts to ideas that are very foreign to us, and they claim it's all for the good of the world. Many times you'll discover it's all rooted in Omar Novel Beliboy Ein Elokim.
Yeah.
Ein Elokim.
Nature's taking over.
Ein Elokim. And we are in total control. Total control of our destiny. And that's
college professors.
What? Everyone, listen, you can't generalize. You can't generalize. Everyone.
But the pushback is there. That's what I'm trying to say.
So where does the pushback come from?
I see it every day.
Where does the pushback come from?
Religious
people. No, you know who are the biggest people who are very much against, you know, all these mandates and all a lot of what the government? Not the Jews, no. The Jews are very submissive. Christians.
Some of the Jews.
The very few Jews.
Yeah.
Jews are part of the problem.
Some of the Jews. Yeah, no, oh my God.
It's the Christians, the very religious Christians.
I see it every day.
They
the
lead
stuff I watch
in the opposition.
It's always bringing in God.
Yeah, exactly. And you look in the world and you see shifts to really extreme. I'm not talking about, you know, there's always good in everything. No one's come to deny everything. You know, there are good things. But extremism, many times, is rooted in this principle. Omar Novel Beliboy Ein Elokim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the narrative. That's the narrative. And Hashem is looking, is there anyone out there in the world that's going to be moicheh? Like an Avraham Avinu, Yesh Baal Labira. Is there anyone out there like Avram? Is there someone that's Doiresh Es Elokim? The Dorish Elokim is Lu'ubas, the novel who says, Ain Elokim. I'm looking for some good men to make a machah. There is Elokim. And once you introduce into this world the principle that there is a God, the equation changes entirely. Everything changes. Everything trickles down from the root of Omar novel, Beliboy Ein Elokim, verse the maskil that is the Doresh Es Elokim. This is the balance, the force of evil and the forces of good. The novel who says Ein Elokim, and the maskil who says, who is the Doresh Es Elokim. And notice, it's interesting, it doesn't say the maskil that says Yesh Elokim. It doesn't say that. It says he is Doresh, he's seeking Hashem. The novel makes a flat statement, Ein Elokim. You would expect the pasuk to say that the opposition says Yesh Elokim. There is a God. No, it doesn't say that. Hashem doesn't even want that. Hashem is not even asking that there should be people that say Yesh Elokim. All Hashem wants is a Doresh. At least a person that is seeking. Even if a person has not yet come to the conclusion that can say with absolute certainty, I'm a believer, but a person that has a curiosity to seek. There are nuances that I don't understand, but the terminology is something that is striking. You would expect there to be the two sides is Ein Elokim, Yesh Elokim. No, there's the Ein Elokim versus the Maskil that is the Doresh Elokim. There is the novel. He is in contrast to the Maskil. In the Pesach Seder, we have the four Banim. There's the Chacham, there is the Tam, the Rosha, and the She'enu Yodea Lesha. No, it's very bizarre. Why are those the four terms in our Haggadah? How come we don't have by the Haggadah the child who is the Novel? Why do we have the Tzaddik? Where is the Tzaddik by the Seder? Where is the Novel by the Seder? There's always, there are people out there, Rachman was studying, the Jewish population, who are the Novel, and I say, and Elokim. Menuvel is a different term, but I'm talking about the Novel of the Torah. The Novel is person that is withering away. We said, Novol Tibol. Gamata, Yisro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you will turn into a novel. You will wither away. The work that is upon you is impossible. So how come, and the novel, what does the novel say? Ein Elokim. It's very interesting. You go take what it says over here in this mizmah, you say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yisro was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu something very, very scary. Yisro didn't just say to Moshe, you know, you're going to have a nervous breakdown and you're going to need to go to the emergency room. He didn't say that. He says, Novol Tibol. What do you mean, Novol Tibol? Look at this pasuk. Omar Novol Beliba Ein Elokim. He's saying to his son-in-law, Moshe, you're the Ish Elokim. You are the Ish Elokim. At this rate, you may become an apikoros. Isn't that amazing? By the way,
Moshe says that to Yitro, Ki yavo elai ha'am lidrosh Elokim.
Ooh.
Says that he said it.
Fascinating. You so see, the, wow.
That
see the chiddush that come out over here? Unbelievable.
What you want to learn?
Lidroi Shalokim, incredible. You just said it's unbelievable. Sefasai Mishak, what a var. The psukim in Parashas Yisroi directly correspond to what it says in this mizmar. In this mizmar, what is that contrast? The novel, who says Ein Elokim, versus the maskil, that is Doirei Shalokim. Yisro says to Moshe,
with a maskil, and I think the word maskil needs to be translated, the one who has seichel, the one who is smart, he's not going to just say, yes, there is. He is a
doiresh.
He's a maskil. Has brains.
The word maskil, you're growing. Novel means to wither. Wither is a process. Haskola is also, he's saying, is a process. It's not a state of being. It's not a parva state. Novel means to wither. Wither means today, the leaf.
You could sit in a fight saying yes, no, yes, no. No, you got to be direct.
You're in a state of movement.
No, but novel also means, or more precisely, I think, means degraded. Because you have nevela, Nivala is degraded. The basar is degraded.
So nevela gets worse and worse. A nevela doesn't
degrade.
A nevela doesn't stay the same. And the nevela and achanami. So what does it mean in nevela? What is a nevela? A nevela is something which is. Why is a nevela disgusting? You have seven person that you see a dead cat, or even worse, a dead dog. So why is it disgusting? You know why? Because it's getting worse and worse. What's the disgust? It's not just that it's dead. If it would be dead and remain the way it is, that's one thing. It gets worse and worse. Every day, it decays more. And the process of decaying is what makes it disgusting. If it comes to an end, they're just bones. No, they're bones. So they're bones. It's not getting worse. But when something is in a state of getting worse, worse, and worse, that's what makes it so disturbing. Something, a tree that withers, it gets old, it withers. People when they age, end of life, when they shut down, it's a very challenging thing to observe. When they degrade, when they wither. Novol means a process. And what you're suggesting is haskalah means also it's a process going up. A chacham, I'm done. I got my degree. I have a PhD. Here it is. It's on the wall. I will never, ever open up another book the rest of my life. I'm sick of all these books. Done. There it is. You see that plaque? I'm a chacham. Finished. A maskil means we're just getting started here. Okay, this is just a stepping stone to do more research, to do more, to study more. You're growing. So the Ruach of Kalman saying, you're saying something that is very, very, very profound. The secret to understand the conversation between Moshe and Yisro is in Mizmar Yudalit. Yisro says to Moshe, Novol Tibol, you're going to wither away. Moshe says, Ki Yavoi Elai Ha'om Lidroish Es Elokim. Is that amazing? That's exactly the conversation taking place over here in this Mizmar. Omar Novol Belivoi Ein Elokim. And what does Hashem say? Is there anyone that is a maskil that's going to be doyresh Elohim to put these people, to make these people quiet? The opposition. Moshe says, Ki yavoy elayich am lidroish Elohim. Adarava, I'm only going to be a maskil. I'm only going to grow higher, 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 higher. Yisro says, no, you're not. It's overwhelming. What's going to happen is you're going to be so overwhelmed, you're going to go down. And you, Rachmana Litzlan, you can say such thing. You're going to become Moshe, you, the Isha Elohim, who went to Shemayim. You're going to become an Apikoros, Chas V'Shalom. You're going to become a person that's going to say, Ein Elohim. If Yisro says to Moshe, Novol Tibol, and the definition of a novel is a person that says, Ein Elohim, Omar Belibo, Yisro is warning Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, even you're not safe. Even you're. Yisro was a master of religion. Yisro had many doctorates in religion. He experimented, he was telling Moshe, I'm an expert in religion. I'm telling you, even though you went to Shemayim and you're the greatest man, if you don't take care of yourself, even you, Moshe, can go all the way down to a matziv of what it says here in Tehillim, in Mizmor Yudalit, Omar Novel Beliboy, Ein Elohim.
That's why along those lines, Lidrosh Elohim, the Rabban El says that Lidrosh Elohim, in other words, you need more time to spend with God. You have to grow. You complain. You have conversation with God. You don't have time. If you're going to be sitting with all the people all day long, you won't have time. This way, if you delegate, you'll have a greater opportunity to spend
right, time. You just think you have to,
so that you could grow.
Right, you also have to grow. Right? That's one of the things they taught in rabbi school. In rabbi school, they always would say, all the rabbanim would say, if you get a job as a rav, you have to grow, exactly. If you're just a serviceman, you're just a plumber, and you're just a mechanic, an electrician, you service your balabat, and you, the rabbi, are not growing personally, you don't set aside time to learn yourself. You have a seder for your own personal learning. Nothing to do with the balabat. Don't prepare a shiur for the balabat. You have a chavrusa for an hour or two a day. If you don't grow personally, then you're toast. You're in the wrong profession. That's other professions, you learn on the job. You learn on the job. You're a plumber. You're an electrician. You're a computer programmer. So you do your work, and when you're working, you know you're learning the malacha and you're growing. And then time is off. Rabbinics is not like that. even though you give shiurim and you service your balabatim and you involve in ruchnis, it's not enough. In Rabbanus, a successful Rav has to chisel out somewhere, from nowhere, time where he personally grows on his own. Otherwise, the profession's not going to work. It's a different nature.
Most professions, if you don't do continuing education, you wither.
Well, you usually, if you're fortunate to have a good job, and the job itself, the work itself, as growth in the actual service, you're growing because of what you're doing. Rabbinics is not necessarily like that. It's not necessarily like that. The service that you're providing people in the world of rabbinics is going to bring you personal growth. What? Oh, shimish. That's one thing, but there's more to it. A rav is a different beast. All right, let's go further. Rabbi said, let's move ahead. Yes.
The way I understand the summary of what we're going, we had the original kasha that we would expect that the opposite of Ein Elokim would be Yesh Elokim.
No.
Ein Elokim, right? Yeah.
But
okay.
How we're concluding, I think. Anyway, I think that's what you're saying. It's not what I'm saying. So that's the opposite of the result. But the opposite is the opposite of novel. A novel is degrading, and the maskil is upgrading.
Growing.
So it's what the novel says and what the maskil says.
Exactly.
That's the exact opposite.
Exactly.
Of what
exactly. Novel. One is
not the result. Right, that's the opposite.
It's growing. Which direction?
It's the person we're talking about.
There's no parviyit, the old expression. There's no parviyit. A person is either growing or he's falling.
Right.
The novel is falling.
Yeah.
He's withering.
So and what they're saying doesn't necessarily have to be the
right.
opposite.
The masculine is growing. He's a doyresh.
I'd like to make a side point because I don't see it mentioned in the Mefarshim here. Medrash says in a number of places, so let's take this one. Omar Navol Belibo, that expression, it says, Parishayim Pershus Libam. The wicked follow their Yetzer. Okay. As it says, Vayomer Esav Bilibo, Omar Novol Bilibo, Vayomer Yerovon Bilibo, Vayomer Haman Bilibo. That's the thing. Of all Atzadikim, Libom Bir Shusam.
Intellect.
They control their Yetzer. As it says, Vechanohi Medaberes Al Libo, Vayosem Daniel Al Libo, Vayomer David El Libo. And in that way, Domin Liboron. Because it says,
"Vayomer
Hashem El Libo."
In other words, the intellect. The intellect is controlling the emotions. The mind is in control. So that's a maskil. Maskil is usually associated with the intellect.
Okay, the maskil used to smoke a cigarette.
Okay, that's a modern day term. Those are modern day terms. We're talking about the maskil over here, the good maskil. The masculine over here, the masculine over here, the term here means the intellect. You say very good, Michal. The novel, Omar Novel Belibo, the novel, he's a slave to his Yetzer Hara,
right.
To his Titus. The Chacham, the wise man, or the masculine, he is in the driver's seat. His intellect, the word masculine has the connotation of the mind, the intellect. The intellect is controlling the heart. The mind, is it, you know, the debate, the rational approach or the emotional approach to Judaism? Follow, you know, the Hasidim, they very much cherish the emotional approach to dance, to eat, to sing, to serve Hashem with your heart. The Litvaks, the ones who shackle,
they don't have
hearts. They embrace the intellectual approach. You learn it daf Gemara, you shakel. They favor the rational, the intellectual approach. Eilu, they look at chayim. Different strokes, different folks, but to a degree. This over here, the novel who's totally under the control of the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is in a lot of trouble. Okay, Rabbi, so let's move ahead. Okay, let's try to. Let's move ahead. Okay, so therefore, here in this context, the Mesudavid says over here that it's a person that is Dorei, she challenges the norm. He challenges what everyone else is saying. Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, "Akol sor yachtov." Everyone turns away together. There's like a madness in the world. The whole world just abandons Hashem. Ne'elochu ein oisei toiv. Now, what does it mean, the word ne'elochu? Ne'elochu means they are yeyosh, niv'ashu, k'moy nisa v'ne'elach. They give up hope. Okay, I'm not sure that everyone agrees with that translation, but the word over, it seems over here, niv'ashu, losh of yeyosh. Yeyosh is hakol so yachlov ne'elochu. Is that what it means? They give up, niv'ashu. What does it mean, niv'ashu? Let's see over here, the Mitzvah Zavid. Mitzvah Zavid. Let's see. Hakulam, they give up. What does it mean? Yeyush. The whole suddenly daf gemar babakava. Yeyush ba'olim. Person has a lost eye. Loses his wallet, and then after a while he is miyayesh. He gives up. He gives up hope. He loses hope. He doesn't have any expectation to ever find it again. Let's see the mitzudos. Hakol sar kulam saru miderech hatoyva yachdav together kulam yachad kil kuluma asem. So it doesn't say that he learns nivash of the bays is part of the word. It's a different word which means to behave in a disgusting way.
Nivash usually means like to stink.
Okay, right, correct. So what I'm saying is not correct. I'm not saying it's not correct. It might be someone else that says this. Not so sure I'm going to give up so quickly, but over here, maybe Yayish so quickly, but over here it seems the word Nelochu, according to the Mitzudois, Nelochu means they stink, exactly. Yeah. They are Mekalkel, they're destructive. It's similar to the word Hishrisu. On the top of the page, we have Hishrisu, here we have Nelochu. Ein oisetov, ein oisetov, ein gamechad, not even one person. There's not even one good man. Mitzudois. That's mitzudas. There's no mitzudas on this. Surprise me. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Dalet. Halo yadu kol poalei aven oichle ami. Do they not know all those who are practitioners of evil, those who eat my nation? And there's a lot of really, really nice things on this pasuk. We'll come to very soon. Whatever, we'll get to it eventually. Those who eat my nation, ochlu lechem Hashem loy koro. Let's see how the mitzudas study translates this first. The mitzudas study pasuk halo yadu. Hello, return to Loimar. Okay, when he says return to Loimar, he's not going to take it literally. Eich yomer, how could you dare say, Ein Elokim? Hello, yesh lo das lepolich oven a shemach, sh'oichlim es ami, k'moy sh'oichl es alechem, hu ba'avur asher ami loy koro l'ashem. The wicked people think that they are successful in causing harm to Klal Yisrael because everything is a mikra. The Jews are nothing special. They're just other human beings. And kol the olim gvar, everything is b'mikra. Kol the olim gvar, and now we are the better race. We are more perfect people, and therefore the reason why we're able to succeed and destroy them, harm them, is because koychi v'oitzem yodi osli sachayel azeh. So here the Navi says, David says, you're a bunch of idiots. Don't you realize the only reason why you have been able to cause them harm is because my people are not behaving? It's because of their averos. Because my people, they eat bread. My people, what's the reason? What's the reason? It's because Hashem loy koro. The reason why you, the wicked people, are successful in bringing harm upon my people is because my people have faltered. They have not called out to me. Don't you understand that? Don't you realize that? Don't you study history? And look, that when the Jewish people were religious, they were loyal to Hashem. They were dominant. They were protected. And when the Jewish people, when they falter and they don't serve Hashem, they become vulnerable. So how dare you come along now and say that there's no God in this world? Everything happens by coincidence. And now we have perfected ourselves. We are the perfect race. We have technology. We're smart. And that's why we're able to just go and trash the Jewish people. It's ridiculous. Don't you realize this? You're foolish people. Halo yodu, kol poalei aven. Don't you have any knowledge? Where are your brains, you evil people who have succeeded in causing bringing harm to this world? Do you know why, you evil people who oichle ami, ochlu lechem, you people who eat up my people, you devour my nation, similar to a way a person eats bread? That's how we're describing these practitioners of evil. They devour Klal Yisrael the same way they sit down for breakfast and they eat their bread. And they think to themselves, you know why we're able to devour this nation so easily and just murder 6 million people and commit all these crimes of the whole Jewish history and just push the Jews, do whatever they want? Do you know why? It's because we're superior. We are the perfect
the master.
We are the masters, we are the perfect people. Don't you have any brains, you idiots? The reason why Hashem allowed you to do this is because Hashem lo yikarahu. My people have unfortunately faltered. They have not been loyal to Hashem, and therefore that's why you have this power. You know, obviously you gotta be very, very careful when you talk like this about like the Holocaust, because we all know good and well, no one knows nothing. No one knows nothing, but it can also deny the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael that nothing happens by coincidence, and the Hoya Im Shema, we say in Kriya Shema every single day, Im Shema Tishmu El Mitzvasei Asher Anochi Mitzav Eschem Hayom Li'Ava Hashem Elokeichem Li'Avdo B'chol Levavchem, I'm going to give you all the brachas. Hishamru Lochem Okay, now theoretically we understand. Theoretically we say twice a day, Kiyashma, you can't go deny. To go point fingers and to say this, God forbid. God forbid. Right? Moshe said to Hashem, Hareini no eskvodecha, tzadik viraloi. So we don't know anything, but we do know everything. And where is the balance? I don't know. Everyone has to figure out where the balance is. Where do you apply the principle tzaddik viraloi, and where you apply the principle that the tzaddik will be rewarded and protected in this world, and people that are not tzaddikim are going to suffer the consequences.
I always look at the example here. Ochle ami, ochle la'achlu lechem. Efo ze katuf davar kaze? Etzel Yosef, ha'achim. Like with Yosef, zaku to labor, vayishvu leechol lechem, as if nothing happened. Ochle ami, they threw the brothers to the pit, and ochlu lachem.
You're saying you're Jewish.
I don't know if they.
You're saying
they
you're Jewish. Them. It doesn't even bother you.
They didn't bench.
Right. Them. You're saying you're Jewish. Is that? I'll prove to you what you're saying is true, because he says vayechazul lekim vayochlu vayishvu. It says by Matan Torah. What does it say by Matan Torah? By Matan Torah, what does it say? It says they saw Vayechazu es Elokim and Vayechlu Vayishtu. And the Rashi Chazal say, what in the world are they doing here? You sing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you go to the candy machine, buy Hershey's candy bar. What in the world? If you sing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no big deal, you saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you eat a candy bar, and it said because of that, Nodav Avihu died. That's what it says. Rashi says the Farish, Nadav that Hashem did not want to spoil the Simcha Matan Torah. Hashem delayed until later on, and that's why the Zakenim died later on. Rashi says it matched up when it happened. It was a delay, exactly. So when it says Vayochlu Vayishu after a momentous occasion, so he's saying a drush. He's saying Hello Yadu Kol Palavin Ein Oichle Ami, and they say big deal, we did nothing. They go back on their merry way. Ochlu Lechem. It's a very beautiful drush he's saying. He's saying a very powerful idea that Ochlu Ami Ochlu Lechem is an expression of saying it doesn't bother them. They have no soul, no conscience. You just murdered a whole bunch of people. Big deal. You go back and you sit down like nothing ever happened. Rishoyim, Rishoyim, Rishoyim. Now that's Hashem Lo Yikarahu. Okay, then you have to fit that into the Jewish.
Okay.
But according to the Mitzudos, let's review the Mitzudos of Klani. What the Mitzudos says, very the way it hides this pasuk. One was finish up with this. Halo return the Lemar. Eich Yoimu. How dare you, wicked people, say in Elokim? Halo Yesh Lodas. Hashem over here is a Mi Omar El Mi. In this pasuk, according to the Mitzudos, Hashem is speaking to the wicked people, and he's telling you, wicked people, you're a bunch of idiots. All of your degrees in science and knowledge, you don't even have the chokhmah seichel of a kindergarten child. Don't you realize the reason why you were successful is not because of koichi v'yotzim yodhi osni achayim hazeh? You're nothing more than a tool in the hand of Hashem to bring harm to Klal Yisrael, who are, for whatever reason, we have no understanding, Hashem is not pleased with. Hashem has a reason to, that it says here the reason, Hashem loy karahu. It's not because you are anything special. Now, when we go back to the Mitzvah stuff, it says, this refers to Nebuchadnezzar. He's really speaking directly to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had great pride in the fact that he conquered, he destroyed the Bayis Rishon, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he murdered all of these people, and it's Koich of Yosem Yadi. Don't you realize it's nothing to do with you, Nebuchadnezzar? The Jewish people have been warned for 200 years by the Nevi'im that if you don't shape up, you're going to be destroyed. There's going to be a Golus, there's going to be a Churban, Avoy Dezara, Gili Arayas, Shlichas Tamim. Don't you realize it's nothing to do with you? It's because of the Jewish people in Talmud Bayis Rishon, they were not observant. Hashem loy karahu. So don't be so caught up with yourself that you're so powerful and so great and you're able to achieve this success of destroying the Beis HaMikdash, which the Pasuk here is describing, Oichlei Ami Ochlu Lechem. You eat up my people the same way you chew bread. It's not because you're special. It's only because Hashem Lo Yikarachu. Finish with the Mrs. David. Lepoli Aven B'mash B'shemash Oichle Nes Ami Moi She'oichle Salechem. This, that you're able to eat up my people the same way you eat bread, Kubalvur Asher Ami Lo Yikarachu Lashem. It's only because the Jewish people have sinned. All right, we're out of time. We have to stop over here. Tomorrow, Mishra, we'll continue.
When the Gemara discusses that the B'nai Haman, you know, you also